Dr. La, and welcome to the TNA post show. As always, I'm joined by Bert. He allegedly has no relation to Steve Maclin, and he's the fifth rascal. How you doing, Bert?
Well, I love the introduction, but you know, tonight, you know, I don't know whose side to choose.
Right? I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that happened. But let's get into it. Well, actually, before we talk about tonight's show, let's quickly talk about Explosion. On Explosion, we had the Grizzled Young Vets versus Richard Adonis and Braxton Hunter. I was not a fan of this. I feel like the Grizzled Young Vets should not be wrestling against jobbers. I feel like I was not a fan of this match. I get it. It was about the Grizzled Young Vets, but we know what the Grizzled Young Vets can do. We don't need to have them face jobbers.
You know, there's nothing wrong with a little enhancement match once in a while. You know what I mean? Just a showcase match. They went out there and worked 10%, because that's all I needed to work. They got the job done. They hit that devastating move off the top rope, which just looks brutal. And then the great year, too, for the finisher. So, yeah, no, this was really a nothing match.
This was an easy win for the Grizzly Young Vets.
Definitely.
All right, we had Around the Ring with Gia Miller. Her guest was Giselle Shaw. I actually like these Around the Ring segments. I don't know about you or about how most people feel about them, but I personally like them because we get to learn more about the wrestler outside of the ring. Like they talked about Giselle Shaw's flight attendant career.
Yeah, these are always just cool. These are just cool. I like how they're on Explosion, just kind of in the middle. That way, it's just not nonstop wrestling. They give you somewhat of a promo, and yeah, this is cool.
All right, let's talk about this next match. This next match has to play into tonight's main event. It's Trent Seven versus Shay Miguel. Now, I thought this was a good match. Trent Seven got the victory with the Burmese Hammer to Shay Miguel. Now, this was interesting because tonight's main event was a six-man tag match that we've so been talking about. And it finally happened. Now, it was interesting how at Sacrifice, you know, Maclin didn't go out with the Rascals. And so the Rascals lost. And the Rascals didn't go out with Maclin. And Maclin lost. You'd think that together they be unstoppable faction, but unfortunately that did not happen. Chris Bay was the best around the ring so far. I agree. I really like the Chris Bay one. Now, what did you think of Trent Seven versus Shay Miguel before we get into the main event?
Well, if obviously if you're watching Explosion first, you're thinking after watching Trey lose, you're like, okay. He has a chance to get his win back. I mean, he lost, but then he has a chance to get his win back in the main event. But yeah, no, this was a really good match. I like seeing Trent Seven. I want to see more of Trent Seven. I think this is another perfect fit for TNA. But yeah, like I said, I don't want to spoil the main event, but I don't like seeing Trey lose.
Smoke him if you got him.
Well, obviously that's not happening tonight.
All right, let's talk about this. So before we get into the main event, we had an interview with Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain. I know we're not going in order here, but, you know, we're going to start with this. And they're basically talking about how they're one of the greatest trios in professional wrestling history, you know. And they had not only had the tools to defeat Steve Maclin and Rascals, but to capture tag team gold. And that's very interesting because as we learn, at Rebellion, it's going to be the System versus Speedball Mountain. I was surprised because I kind of thought ABC would get their rematch.
Yeah, and even though I don't expect it to happen, they should totally introduce Trios championships for this match, just because I don't know, I wouldn't have a problem with the System having more gold. You know, I always like when people, you know, are on like a belt collector journey.
What were you saying?
I'm a little surprised that this match is happening, but at the same time I like what they're doing in terms of prolonging the story of Nick Nemeth like rising through the TNA ranks, because I didn't want to see him come in and get a title shot immediately, just for two reasons. One, one of two reasons, because the first one being I don't want to see him win the belt that soon. And then second, I didn't want to see him lose because that just kind of takes all the steam off and momentum off of his signing in the first place. So the slow build is always the way to go, especially since especially if you're not new to the wrestling world, people know who he is. So it's not like they have to rush this feud. But this should be another good trios match. Like, they really do need to do something, whether it's working with New Japan or introducing their own belts.
I agree. So let's talk about this main event, which was a 6-man tag match, Steve Macklin and the Rascals versus Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain. We have been talking about this match since this feud started. Remember, we said this match is going to take place. I kind of thought it would take place at Sacrifice, and then, you know, Rebellion would be where we get Macklin versus them, but that did not happen. So this was a great main event. It seems like Steve Macklin and the Rascals were not getting along with each other because, you know, like we talked about earlier, the Rascals were upset. Macklin didn't go out with them. Macklin did not want them out there. So there was a bit of miscommunication here. The Rascals completely abandoned Steve Macklin. So it seems like their alliance is over.
Well, whether it was on purpose or not, Macklin did take out Trey Miguel. So, you know, in the heat of the moment, I could see why they would walk out. So we'll see if maybe they're able to resolve this. I would like that. But just because I want to see more trios teams. It's not like that matters at this point. That's just something I want to see. But yeah, no, this was a really good match. Random thing. Trent Seven's got great hair. I wish, like, just like in the movie Dodgeball, they would do replays just of, like, Ben Stiller's character. Just Trent Seven's hair. It's great hair.
He does have a great hair. He does have great hair. I will say that. So Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain win after the Rascals abandon Steve Macklin. He gets hit with the danger zone. And then the system comes out and attacks Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain. If you remember Nick Nemeth, when he debuted at Hard to Kill, he confronted Moose right after he defeated Alex Shelley. So there's unfinished business there. And Moose hits Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain with the title. He tells Nick Nemeth, welcome to TNA. And at the end, the system is standing tall. And as we learned earlier in the night, the system works. So it's at Rebellion, it's official. It's going to be Moose versus Nick Nemeth for that TNA World Title. What were your thoughts on the system attacking Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain?
Well, like, just like how in sports there's players who don't show up on the stat sheet, I think Alicia was the MVP of this segment, just because as soon as Nick Nemeth was starting to make a comeback, she was the one that intervened, grabbed the legs, and allowed Moose to hit him with the title belt. So again, she continues just to be, I think, one of the best parts of this group.
I agree. Give me one second. Sorry about that. Yeah, you know, I agree. I feel like Lish needs to win some gold here too, you know? Like, she's the only one without gold.
Yeah, they need to find a way to make that happen. Again, like, as the days go on, I'm becoming more and more okay with the idea, even wanting to see her as the world champion. But if they can somehow add another knockout to the group, and put the tag gold on her. That'd be fine as well.
Maybe they need a... Maybe Ash? Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So tonight's show started off with the exhibition title match, Chris Sabin versus Mustafa Ali. This was one hell of a match. Really enjoyed it. Mustafa Ali obviously retained. But, you know, it seems like they're teasing something because Chris Sabin, he tried to hit... Oh, no worries, Cameron. He tried to hit Ali with that title. He missed. And then, like, at the end, he was just sitting there staring at the title. So, possible heel turn, maybe?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you go... Because I was more paying attention to the interview after, because... Yes, I thought the same thing during the match, but then it's like when you watch the backstage interview, Alex Shelley almost is teasing a heel turn because he said that the Time Splitters are the best team in the world. And you heard Hannafin say, or I don't know if it was him or Ray Walt say, oh, he didn't notice how he didn't say the machine guns. So something's going on.
He did say that. And it was interesting because they are interrupted by the Grizzled Young Vets. And, you know, and they say, oh, the top trio, obviously referring to his Time Machine because Kushida was back there. And that was interesting. I did notice that Alex Shelley did say the Time Splitters, not Motor City Machine Guns. So are we finally get the long-awaited machine gun versus machine gun?
It seems like that's... Very, very possible, and it seems like that's the way that they might be going.
Or maybe we might see heel Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, I would prefer that just because I don't want to see them fight each other, but that's just me.
I love the scene with Saban after the match saying goodbye to the title he cherished. Yeah, that was... I mean, he's a 10-time X Division champion for a reason.
Yeah.
So we got Josh Alexander in-ring promo, and he's basically talking about Alex Hammerstone. Do you remember Alex Hammerstone cheated to beat Josh Alexander? He low-blowed him and then took the headgear as a prize. Josh Alexander talking about how his heart is his identity. And, you know, that's what I like about this Josh Alexander is the heart and soul of TNA. Although at one point, that was Eddie Edwards. You know, so it's obviously this feud between them is not over yet. We haven't gotten official confirmation that Hammerstone versus Josh would happen at Rebellion. But Dirty Dango attacked Josh Alexander during this because, you know, Dirty Dango got a lot of praise last week for not only main eventing, but it was his best match in TNA as far.
Yeah, and then Josh had a match with Prudeus, right?
Yeah, which led after this, because Santino Marella made the match.
And now, technically, Prudeus is an enhancement talent, but I would say the match on Explosion was better than this.
I think this was a pissed off Josh Alexander. Let me see. JJ saying, not into Rebellion, at least MCM is in action at the ECW arena. Taking on the system. By the way, anyone who says Josh can't cut promos can suck it. Yes, they can't suck it. But Josh Alexander is really good on promos. So this led into Josh Alexander versus Ole Prudeus, which was basically, I don't want to say an enhancement match, but this was Josh Alexander just like pissed off because he immediately went after Ole Prudeus. He put him in an ankle lock and made him tap out. He was already pissed off because of what Alex Hammerstone did and the fact that Dirty Dango attacked him. Come on now. Like, I mean, remember what he did to Allen Angels when he bought up his son Jet?
Yeah, I do like this more aggressive side from Josh. And yes, I do agree with you. Josh is a good promo.
So we get Crazy Steve, and he's talking about the people he's defeated. You know, the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, the Matt of the War Beast, Rhino, and even the longest reigning digital media champion, Joe Henry. He talks about how no one can handle that type of pressure, and then PCO comes out. So it seems like they're setting up Crazy Steve versus PCO. In my opinion, Crazy Steve should go over. I don't think PCO needs a digital media title.
Yeah, I don't mean to upset anybody in the chat who's a fan, but I really could care less about this match. The only thing is I have a feeling it'll be a pretty brutal match just because, given the two people in it, Crazy Steve and the unkillable PCO. But yeah, I hope this is over quickly and doesn't drag on.
Sorry about that. PCO is awesome. Okay, don't get me wrong. I like PCO. I like the French Canadian Frankenstein. But I still think Crazy Steve should go over in this match.
Look at there are a lot of people that I will complain about getting a title match that I don't want to see. I'm not trying to be just single out PCO. I'm not saying he's not awesome. I'm just saying that this feud, well, it doesn't matter if it comes out of nowhere. It just doesn't do anything for me. But I don't think that the match will be bad.
I disagree with this statement right here. I'm not even going to read this statement. I'm not even going to, I don't even know why I acknowledged it. I like Joe Henry here. And we'll talk about Joe Henry when we get to Joe Henry. But we had Ace Austin versus Frankie Kazarian. And, Frankie Kazarian told Jay to remind everybody that he's the king of TNA. And, he beat Ace Austin. I really like the way they did it, though. He put him in that chicken wing, and he won by submission here. And, when he attacked ABC, Eric Young came out to help them. So, if Frankie Kazarian can find two more people, I could see a tag match happening, or find a tag team partner. I could see a tag match happening between ABC and Frankie Kazarian.
Well, I don't think it was necessary for Frankie Kazarian to beat up two former tag team champions in ABC. Yeah, I do like what they're doing here, but just because while Frankie Kazarian is not technically a number one contender, they're trying to keep him strong and position him as someone who is in the main event scene now and someone who is, because I do think he eventually will be the champion at some point. I think that's one of the reasons he came back. I think that's the one goal left for him in TNA. He's never been world champion. But yeah, this was just a little weird to me, but again, I get it.
I get what they were coming from too, but I have to agree. I was not a fan of Frankie Kazarian taking out both ABC. You know, I felt like, maybe that's why they're not giving their obligated rematch.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I would be no, maybe they're delaying the rematch just because it'll be one of the rare times that the rematch, they win the belts back and they're going to delay it for a little bit because I'm not the biggest fan of the automatic rematch. Especially doing it right away.
So assuming Speedwell Mountain loses to the system, ABC challenges at Under Siege?
Yeah, or you know, it could always happen on an episode of TNA. We just saw Chris Sabin get his rematch tonight. It seems like on the, it's not a guarantee, I think, that we'll always see all the belts defended on the specials versus the one of the big pay-per-views.
Well, you do make a great point. So with that being said, if Speedball Mountain fails to capture the gold, then they'll probably either do it, they'll probably get a rematch in between Rebellion and Under Siege, or they'll do it at Under Siege. So
I definitely do think it's more than likely that they will retain against ABC just because I think that they're going to want to, I think they're going to have the system keep those belts for, you know, for a good amount of time just to kind of establish that group's dominance.
Hopefully they do. That's what I'm saying. Lish needs gold. So we get a system, like, I guess, what is it, a VNA? They're talking about all of their accomplishments, and, like, there's a little scrolling bar with all of their accomplishments. I thought that was pretty cool. I actually really like this.
This was great, especially, like, Moose talking about, like, maybe the chat can help us out. Like, I think he said something like he, like, blocked for Peyton Manning, and he also played with Tom Brady. Because it was like a ticker you would see on ESPN. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was on the bottom of the screen. It was showing all their stats. Like, all the scores. Like, this was awesome. And I also like how, like, every member felt, like, important. And I also just like how, especially Eddie Edwards, always having to mention his run as GHC World Champion from Pro Wrestling Noah. I don't know. I just really like this.
Yeah, it was a really cool. I hope they do it more. That's what I'm saying. Like, why I feel like Lish needs gold, because they were all talking about their accomplishments and Lish was just kind of standing there, you know?
Yeah.
IOS's championship pedigree success with the three men. I know you don't trust the system. You tell me every week that you don't trust the system. You don't trust the system. You don't believe in Joe Henry. Next, you're going to tell me, well, what's another one? Oh, well, at least you believe in Ali.
Well, I happen to agree with him on the Henry thing, especially when we talk about it, because we haven't talked about it yet.
We can't be co-hosts anymore if you don't believe in Joe Henry. Oh. I'm just kidding. Speaking of Joe Henry, you say his name and he appears. So we finally got the long-awaited AJ Francis versus Joe Henry match. And before the match, as you know, Joe Henry cuts the typical Joe Henry promo. And he calls him a giant who he's not afraid of, an artist. And that it's okay to show emotions and constantly cry when people say horrible things like AJ sucks. Now, before he can even finish his whole shtick, AJ Francis attacks him. So, like, one of the things that I noticed about this match was all about AJ Francis. I mean, he was dominating Joe Henry. They were really, like, showcasing him and trying to build him up as this, I guess you could say, monster, this badass. And that's one thing that TNA does really well, is they know how to make people look really good.
Yeah, at one point during this match, I think I said to myself, this is the best AJ Francis match I've ever seen.
I agree. It is the best AJ Francis match I've seen, too.
And, yeah, TNA is just really good at this. They know what they're doing.
Was I right or was I right when I said that they were planting seeds of Rich Swann heel turn?
Well, yeah, we had said that he was going to turn again. You thought it was going to be maybe a little bit bigger of a show, but this just felt awesome because it's almost like Rich Swann, like, I know, like, maybe that's what he was supposed to be. He was, like, smiling, like, even he knows that, like, this is what he needed to, like, his, like, character-wise, like, he was going a little stale. Like, this was awesome.
IOS is a TNA system works, Bert. Of, yes. JJ's saying that he admits Joe Henry made AJ Francis look good. And I think that's something we can all agree on. Joe Henry made AJ Francis look good. Like, he went out there with the chair and he hit Joe Henry with the chair. And because the ref was taken out after AJ Francis, like, sent Joe Henry in to the ref. And he won with the choke slam, but with Rich Swann's help. Now, we've talked about this heel turn, and where do we go from here? Obviously, this feud is not over yet. Now, what are Yuya? Yuma Mori was still in TNA. I could see him teaming up with Joe Henry to take on AJ Francis and Rich Swann. But question is, if we get a tag match out of this, who would help Joe Henry?
Well, first off, I don't think Joe Henry and Richard, Joe Henry's done, I mean, AJ Francis is done, you know, acquiring talent in whatever he's trying to do. And just real quick, I just want to say, because obviously everyone remembers the spot of him, that's where he got the name. You know, he had that botch in WWE where he went over the top rope. But at the same time, again, I don't remember ever him doing a choke slam. Like, this is the thing. Look how TNA's having him work compared to the way WWE's having him work. They're having him work to his strengths. Like, he should go in there and throw guys around, especially with some of the people on this TNA roster, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, again, good on TNA and good on him. And then also, again, like I said, like, no offense, Joe Henry, I just think that this, with the case of Rich Swann needing something different, this was more about Rich Swann and AJ France. I think that there's just more interesting things happening with them.
That was what this was about. It was about AJ Francis and Rich Swann, not necessarily about Joe Henry, but this feud and this rivalry is not over yet.
The only person I could maybe see Diener teaming with him would feel weird. And, you know, I don't know why. It'd be cool if TNA could get Yuya back for a one-off. You know what I mean? Because it seems like TNA and New Japan's relationship is strong now. So, because other than that, I don't know who would team with Joe Henry.
I'm interested in Daniel Stanton Francis being the hype man for Swann. I feel like Joe Henry needs a power guy to neutralize AJ Francis, maybe right now. Who do you guys think should team up with Joe Henry in this scenario? Let us know in the live chat or in the comment section down below. But yeah, I can't think of anybody. I'm trying to like run down the roster and like trying to figure out who could pair up with Joe Henry. You know? I can't think of anybody at the moment. But I'm sure someone will come up.
Yeah.
We have the sound check with Allen Angels, and Ash by Elegance is his guest. And I thought this was the funniest thing ever, because like she thought his set was cheap and she was questioning where the champagne is. And like, he was just like, this is hilarious, because he called her the most beautiful girl on TNA. And like, she had a big announcement. The big announcement was that she was having her third match, and the look on his face when he was like, what? You know? So, and then she touched him. He's like, she touched me. She touched me. And it's like the best episode ever. What do you think of this?
Well, a few things. I'm not going to go overboard with complimenting TNA, but once again, here's another star. Well, two stars they created. First off, Ash by Elegance just continues to get better and better. And then, yeah, obviously Allen Angels has been on a rise for a while now. This is a great segment. This is so funny every time. And as soon as he said that he was marking out on her touching her hand, I just thought of like the scene in Zoolander when Ben Stiller meets David Duchovny's character, who's a hand model, and he's got his hand in like a jar because he doesn't want to like damage it. Like, I hope Allen Angels washes it, that hand, you know what I'm saying? Because that would be gross. But you know what I mean? Like, especially like, you know, eating and stuff like that. But again, yeah, he did seem to be a big fan.
Io says, you predicted the neck brace. That was you that said that, huh? The neck brace?
Yeah. And again, I like wacky heels selling their injuries.
Yeah, that was good. Joe Henry and PCO. Bert should love that. Do you, Bert, Joe Henry and PCO?
Well, I don't think PCO is going to come to his aid at this point.
I don't think so either. It seems like he's gonna get into a feud with Crazy Steve, so I think PCO is out of the question. We'll keep discussing that as time goes on. But yeah, I don't think this is an incredible talent. Another talent that TNA has showcased really well since he came into TNA, except for when he was with the design. I was not a huge fan of Alan Angels being in the design. I felt like that kind of held him back a little bit, but I'm really happy that he's doing the sound check. We get to see more of Alan Angels, and we need to see more in-ring action from Alan Angels. All right, next we get Spitfire versus Bea Moss and Vanna Black. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of enhancement matches, especially Spitfire should not be taking on enhancement matches. They're the knockout champions for a reason. But I kind of thought about this in a different way. We need tag teams. We need tag teams. And even though this was an enhancement match and it wasn't about Bea Moss and Vanna Black, it was about Spitfire, I kind of thought to myself, like, because think about it, MK Ultra was out there, DK was out there, and I know they were scouting Spitfire, but what if this match, maybe somewhere down the line, we see Bea Moss and Vanna Black again? I don't know anything about them. I don't know if they're a legit tech team on the indie scene or if they were just two random people thrown together. But, you know, we need more tag teams, and maybe this match was also to see, you know, from the backstage point of view, maybe this match was to see how good they can do and possibly maybe debut down the road.
See, I don't mind this because this is the best case scenario. And obviously a lot of times what you should do, like when you don't obviously want to have the top teams facing each other every week, you want to keep them away from each other. And then also, so if you want to get a team on TV, there's nothing wrong with using local talent. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, I think it's always been done like that. So in terms of, and again, they just became champions. It's not like there's some established team. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, just because they've probably been a team together just as long as the team they face. What was this, their third match together? I think people are forgetting, just because they're the champions, that was their second match that they won the belts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, again, I don't mind this.
Io says patience on the way, according to Gail, for as far as more teams go. I don't know. Like, I can wait for more teams to come. But at one point, we're going to need more teams, because how many times can they do DK versus MK Ultra? How many times can they do DK versus Spitfire? How many times they do Spitfire versus MK Ultra? Or, you know, we got to add more teams. You need more of a dynamic. I know it's not TNA's fault that they lost a lot of knockouts tag teams, but they haven't replaced them as quickly, you know?
Yeah, but like I said, as long as you know, do something like an open, whether like not every week, but there's nothing wrong with challenges where they challenge someone, you know, indie talent, just because, and also too, there's going to be times when people are going to come in, depending on where TNA does shows, there's going to be maybe another promotion that also runs in that area or another promotion in town, or people are going to come in and, you know what I mean? Like, I think, to Io's point, I think that they're booking, the way they're booking it is a lot different now. So I think we got to trust what they're doing, especially Gail.
I do trust Gail, and I do trust them. So, like I said, if they see more teams on the way, then I guess you just got to be patient. They should face outside teams in the meantime. You mean like enhancement matches?
No. Like I said, like if they go, for example.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If they went anywhere, like where it's like GCW's territory or DPW's territory or Defy or Wrestling Revolver, like use some of their talent. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I think they should. Why not Spitfire go up against the Hex? I'm sure the Hex have some unfinished business too.
Exactly. Like, with the availability of wrestling nowadays, it's not like any people are truly unknown.
Yeah. All right. And so last but not least, since we already talked about the main event, we got Natasha Steele. She's basically challenging Jordynne Grace to a match. She wants Jordynne Grace to meet her in the ring next week because she does make a good point. Technically, she didn't lose. She didn't get pinned in that three-way match.
Yeah, and I like this just because they obviously need another match for Jordynne.
Yeah. But because the question is, will Tasha still take the belt off of Jordynne?
No, because I do think we're still building them somehow giving Giselle another match because that match was so good. And the way that it happened so quickly with her getting her shot, you would think that rivalry, and again, she had the behind-the-scenes segment this week. I don't think that rivalry is done. And especially, Giselle's from Canada, right?
Yeah, she's from Canada.
I could definitely see her getting another match when they go back there. Because I would assume that they would go back there at some point.
I also says, fun fact, Tasha lost her KO title to the Queen of the Mountain to Jordynne Grace 2 years ago. I forgot about that. Yeah, she did lose it to Jordynne Grace. And then I believe Jordynne Grace went on to lose it to Deonna. No. Mickie James had, by the time Deonna challenged again for the title was vacated because of Mickie James.
Because real quick, also speaking on teams, I also kind of am hoping that Zaya and Tasha team up after this. But I don't foresee Tasha winning. I wouldn't mind Tasha winning, but I don't think I think Jordynne's going to eventually drop the title to Giselle.
I like Giselle Shawn, and I do think she should be champion. I was there when she won the Ultimate X, and I was so hoping that I was going to lead her to become Knockout Champion. I was disappointed when the match happened very quickly. Like you said, I do think she's going to get another match down the line. I personally think it should happen at Rebellion, you know, where it all started for her. But it would make sense if they hold out and maybe, like, they do it. If they go back to Canada, she could win the title in her home country in Canada.
Yes.
All right. So overall, tonight was actually a good show. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I think this might be technically a slower paced show. Maybe not as much happening just because in terms of there was a quick turnaround in between between Sacrifice and No Surrender. There is a few weeks between this show and Rebellion. So I think that they're, you know, trying to slowly build feuds for that show and matches.
8.5 out of 10. I can see why you say that.
Yeah, I thought this was a solid show.
Yeah, definitely was. I thought this was a pretty decent show, but there were some things I disliked about it too. So
yeah.
But as we get ready to wrap up, where can people find you, Bert?
Just on X at Bert Macklin 11.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Attila_. I talk all things wrestling, Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown. AEW Rampage, and of course TNA Wrestling. I thank you guys all so much for watching and for the continued support. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Make sure you hit that bell so you get notified when this video goes live, or when Everybody's Time goes live. And as Io said, we are currently on the road to Rebellion. I'll be at Rebellion. Bert, you won't be at Rebellion, right?
No,
unfortunately, Bert won't be there, but I'll be there. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.